Greetings in Jesus' name, and welcome to each and every one to Living Hope Christian Fellowship. Appreciated your devotional, Brother Philip. I'd like to go on from that. In Daniel chapter 2, if I could quickly find that. The one verse 44, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. If we're not careful as Christians, we can become kind of morbid. We can let our heads hang down. We can get overwhelmed with all the bad things that are happening in the world and forget that we're part of a kingdom that will never be destroyed. The title of my message is The Kingdom of God is Righteousness, Joy, and Peace. The Kingdom of God is, the Kingdom of Heaven is Righteousness, Joy, and Peace in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Which is where I got that title. Romans chapter 14. And let's begin reading, for the sake of time, in Romans chapter 14, verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy... For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But may the congregation rise. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, here we are this morning. We are thankful that we have your word. We pray that you would help us to rightly divide the word of truth. We could understand how to walk circumspectly in these days, how to live righteously, peacefully, and joyfully. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was going to ask Justin to sing this song, and I forgot. So if you have your Purple Martins, please turn to page 81, I think it is. Sorry, that's not the song. 83, page number 83. I'd just like to make a few observations about this song before we sing it together. Henry Van Dyke wrote this song in 1908. He lived in Massachusetts close to the Berkshire Mountains. And it says he was looking over the mountains when he was struck with awe about the beauty of God's creation. Verse 2, all thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. And then in verse 3, he highlights that everything we have is given to us by God. God is the giver of every good thing. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, field and forest, vale and mountain, blossoming meadows, flashing sea. I love songs that give these word pictures, and this song is then put on a tune that was arranged by Ludwig, who was a pianist, or a pianoist, however you say that, and it's a joyful song, and I like to. In the message this morning, I'd speak a little bit about joy and what we're called to as Christians. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. I'd like to primarily just spend the next 35 minutes unpacking that verse. I don't have time to do an exegetical teaching on this whole chapter. And so let's look at those three words in depth, starting with righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It comes from the Greek word diakone, which in the Strong's is G1342. It simply means the state of him who is as he ought to be. The righteous condition that is acceptable to God. The state of him who is as he ought to be. Integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness. Now get this, correctness of thinking. Correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. How would that be to live in a city or an environment where everybody would think and act and feel right all the time? Everybody. Number one, you would not need law enforcement anymore. There would be no evil, because everybody would think and act right all the time. You wouldn't even need leaders in the church anymore. Righteousness. Athenagoras, writing in AD 175, says this. As a defense of who they were, this is real early on in Christianity, 175. He says, among us you will find uneducated persons. They may be unable in words to prove our doctrine. However, by their deeds they demonstrate truth. They exhibit good works. When struck, they don't strike back. When robbed, they don't go to law. They give to them that asks them. They love their neighbors. 175, Athenagoras writing about, we have those people among us who are uneducated, but this is how they live. I found that interesting. This word, righteousness, is G 1345, is also the same word Jesus used in Matthew chapter 5 when he said, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Later in Matthew, Jesus used the same word. He said, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Many Americans today, many people, even in Anabaptist church circles, are getting confused between the good news, which is the free gift of salvation, and gospel-driven holiness. Gospel-driven holiness. They're confused today. Well, it's a free gift. It doesn't matter so much what's on the outside. Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Another place says, be ye holy as I am holy. So let's don't ever get confused here. We ought to be righteous people. We ought to be holy, like these people Athenagoras was talking about. We don't fight back. We don't go to law. We give to those who ask of us. We basically sometimes get taken advantage of. That's okay. Taking seriously our redemption means we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We work that out. I've been surprised at how easy that we can hang on the coattails of this cheap salvation sometimes. And when we get concerned about purity, or maybe modesty things, or when we are concerned about certain words, or maybe just plain self-control, we get chalked up as, oh, you're being old-fashioned, you're being legalistic, or you are holier than thou. Some of us find it really, really hard to approach other people talking about righteous issues, to approach other people about correctness of thinking or correctness of acting. Some of us find that really hard to do. But we should do it anyway. Because we have received this unmerited favor, this undeserving grace, this gift that adopted us into God's family. It's because of that that we should live thankful lives. We should live lives that are obedient to the call to be holy, to the call to set apart, to be set apart. We are the light of the world. And we should be bringing light to our neighborhood. We're a city on a hill. If we are being righteous, if we live and act and think right, we forgive those who offend us. We pray for those who mistreat us. We love and we leave vengeance to God, who judges righteously. We are the people of God. And we are the people God is counting on. God is willing to reveal himself to us. And he sent the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, to help us in this. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness. The kingdom of heaven is joy. Let's look at that word. This is the third Sunday of Advent. I know we don't make a big deal out of Advent here, but in some circles, Advent is, they know what it means. They say that, you know, because December is a month that we celebrate the birth of Christ, it's too special to be able to do it all on one day. And so they have four Sundays, and each Sunday they light a candle for a different Advent. This will be the Sunday they're celebrating the joy of the birth of Jesus. The definition for joy here in this context in Romans means a deep, enduring happiness that stems from our relationship with God. It is considered a fruit of the Holy Spirit and is characterized by a constant sense of peace and contentment regardless of life's circumstances. Wow. Who would not want this kind of joy? And a deep, enduring happiness that stems from one's relationship with God is characterized by a constant sense of peace and contentment. I would like to write a few things on the board here before I forget. So righteousness, integrity, we have virtue, rightness or correctness of thinking. Let's just do that one. Correctness of thinking. Joy. So you can remember that. A deep, enduring happiness. Happiness, I think it belongs in I there. Regardless of life's circumstances. This is not just a gushy feeling that sometimes people think about when they think of, well, that person's really joyful. This is something that is set apart a little bit more. And it's not just happiness. It's more a state of being than an emotion. You know, our emotions can go all over the place. Joy is more a state of being than an emotion. Some of you know, and some of you don't know, Brother Stanley and Sister Eileen have one child. God bless them with a little baby girl sometime after they were married, and then no more children. Well, like every couple, they wanted more children, right? It's really, really hard if you have no children. But having one, well, who's this child going to play with? And all her cousins have sisters. And so in their deep desire to have more children, one day Stanley's wife Eileen felt that God told her they're going to have another baby. And they shared that with the church family here. They're going to have another baby. Because God said. Well, Jenny is 5 years old. Now she's 6 years old. And then she's 10 years old. And then she's 15 years old. And they still haven't had their other baby. I talked to Brother Stanley about this one time recently. And I said, you know, what happened, Brother Stanley? You know, God had told your wife that you're going to have another child. And God never lies. And Stanley said, well, we came to the point where we realized that if we're going to have another child, God didn't tell me that. We're going to rest in the fact that the voice she heard was not God speaking. Because if God would tell me that, then we would, you know, we would have a sure word. Now, that's a lot of anguish for them for a number of years. What I'd like to point out here is, have any of you ever felt like Stanley and Eileen don't have any joy? These things are not easy when you are put to the test. And they did not have another child. But it never needs to rob our joy. I don't see Eileen as an unjoyful person, but rather as someone who loves to serve and someone who loves to give. A deep, enduring happiness that stems from our relationship with God. Joy is most likely to be experienced by Christians, should be experienced by Christians. And Proverbs talks about this. Before we go there, I'd like to say that throughout periods in history, every time God manifested himself, the people were overjoyed. In the very beginning of creation, God made heaven and earth, and then he made man in the likeness of him, and then he made man a helpmeet, and God saw that it was very good. And I don't know what goes through your mind, but I like to picture things in my mind. Think about Garden of Eden. Think about Adam and Eve in their original state of God's intentional design and the bliss and the peace day after day after day. Everything is an utopia of what life could be. Just peaceful and joyful. So God manifested himself by his creation, and there was joy. God manifested himself to the children of Israel at that time, and there was always joy. What did the Queen of Sheba say when she came and saw the temple of God? And Solomon and his wisdom and his glory. She said, the half hasn't even been told. This is amazing. The angels, when they came to pronounce the birth of God's only begotten Son, they said, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So when God manifests himself, there is always joy. But joy is to be experienced by us Christians when we are peacemakers. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. Reads, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, But to the counselor of peace is joy. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Some of your translations will say that devise evil. But to the counselor of peace is joy. And a few pages back, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23 reads, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" I would take that as a wise man. Joy is experienced by Christians if we learn to be a wise man or a wise woman. Joy is experienced by the just. Proverbs chapter 21, a few pages back again. Verses 15 to 17. Joy is experienced by Christians who are just. "It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Iniquity, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Sorry, I went one verse over, I think, there. And lastly, joy is experience of parents of wise children. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24 to 25. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bore thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Those are old sayings, but we can experience joy that is circumstantial, but we can also experience joy that is more of a, not an emotion, I forget what I had called it, an enduring happiness that stems from our relationship with God. We're not always in control of our children, but I wanted to lay that before us. Children, always seek to be wise. It brings joy to your parents. Joy, even though it is often associated with happiness, is more deep, more enduring. Even when we face challenges, joy is there to bless us. We have friends, my wife and I, that married the same year we did. Their names are Christian and Mary Liz King. They buried their 24-year-old daughter just this past month or two, just this fall. Her name was Rosanna. Rosanna was 6 years old when, in a small school in Nickel Mines, the milk truck driver came in with a bunch of guns. He ordered all the boys to leave the room and the teacher. One or two of the girls slipped out with the boys, but in the end, there was 10 girls. He lined them all up. He tied their hands to their back. And of course, by then, the state police are there talking through their bullhorn or whatever they call that, trying to communicate with him. And as you know the story, he pulls his trigger on his automatic gun, and the police hear a blast of continual shots as they're breaking in through the window. Rosanna was 6 years old and was one of the survivors of the 10 girls. But Rosanna had a gunshot, a bullet that went in her head on the one side. I forget exactly where it went in, and clear out the other side. For 20 years, our friends Chris and Mary Liz nurtured her. She could never talk again. It was not clear how much she can comprehend, but she lived for almost 20 years after that shooting. I heard my friend Christian give a speech at Community Care Center just a few years ago. Do you think that something like that would be easy? To care for your dear little daughter. This was not an easy thing for parents. But God gave them joy in the midst of all this. They'd worked with doctors. Matter of fact, after that happened, six of the best doctors that they could think of, one doctor headed this up, they had table talks weekly or monthly to see how to proceed with this six-year-old that has a gunshot, a hole through the head, and is still living. Something just doesn't happen. Joy is there for us in those times. It's God gives us these special graces that we can't explain, you know, how it happens or even put a concrete science to it. But it's there. And I'd like to encourage us this morning that fellowshipping with others, sharing our faith and our experiences with a community of believers, provides us with a joy that the world knows nothing of. Lastly, let's look at peace. That comes from the Greek word and found in Strong's G1515. This word peace is used 92 times, and most of the 92 times it's used under the definition of harmony. Harmony between individuals. Has also the meaning of contentment with our earthly lot, whatever that is, and right relationships. So we'll just put down here harmony. Harmony and right relationships. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, joy, and harmony, peace. The Hebrew word for this is shalom. Most of you are familiar with that word shalom. Again, it's not as much to feel calm. It's not so much about the absence of conflict. It's about right relationships. Right relationships with God, right relationships with people, and right relationships with the creation. I'm going to venture out on a limb here, and I hope I don't get in too much trouble for saying this. Right relationship with the creation. You know, something that bothers me is the idolatry of hunting, where we will just go out and for the fun of it and for the sport of it, love to kill animals. Let's just kill them. They're just a, you know, what's that? That's just a possum. I cut a tree down, a big cherry tree, that was on the edge of someone's property and the edge of a field that I'm renting. And it was a big tree. And it was a hollow tree. It took us some time for us to figure out how to get this down safely because it just had about 3 inches outside the rim. The complete inside of this tree was hollow. And it was a big tree. We got it down on the ground and celebrated the victory that it went the right way. But it hit the ground and broke open. A few of the dead branches broke open. And I was walking around the tree with the chainsaw. I spied something moving. And I looked in the hole, and there was a big opossum. And he was mad. As I looked in the hole, he made his mouth open big and wide and like, ah. And at first, it kind of shakes you a little bit. But I told the boys, hey, look what's here. And we were trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do with this thing? I mean, now the tree's down and the poor opossum doesn't have a home. If I would have done what my little boyish thing would have done, we would have just clobbered him and, you know, now he's out of the way. But I can't do that anymore. And I don't know why. Maybe I'm a little psyche or something. Because I started cutting with the chainsaw, I was going to cut behind him, and the boys thought I'm cutting on top of him. He said, Dad, stop. No, don't do that. Right relationships. Let's be careful, brothers and sisters. This whole sport of hunting is going wilder and wilder all the time. God made these animals, and he gave us them for a reason, but not to find joy in just killing them. God wants us to be so rooted and grounded in him that we can have peace or be at peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of accusations, in the midst of problems, in the midst of disappointments that come. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, this way. Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. We're living in a world that is broken. There's problems everywhere. We could go down the line this morning and we could all tell some problem in the world. We can't change that. But the question is, can we have peace and harmony in the midst of a broken world? In the midst of a world that's increasingly becoming evil? Can we have peace and joy? I believe we can. And I tell people that we can. I have a friend who does not have what any of us here have. His mom had three husbands, and he was one of the boys in one of those three husbands. And when he turned, I think about 7 years old, they took him out of public school and they sent him up to New York at a Catholic boarding school because he's just a problem, and he's just a problem. Well, he's not a little boy anymore. He now is a father, and he has a few children. And he's just trying to figure life out and figure God out. Recently, I told him, we need to pray to God about these things. And then he said this. He said, I've been praying the last 6 weeks, and God is silent. And that hurt me. I was like, oh, God, like, please don't be silent. Somebody is praying and God is silent. Or that's what he said. And then as I thought about it more, I thought, well, is he silent? Two times in the last 6 weeks, I told my friend, I said, brother, you are not going to make it alone. You have to find the church community. See, God speaks through people. Is God silent? Depends what we mean when we say we're praying. Are we doing what people tell us we should do? We can get counsel. We are not alone. And that's a blessing. Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's powerful. We have a community that we're a part of. We're not alone. And there is safety. We don't need to be ashamed if we need counsel, because we face a lot of hard things. At least I do. Sometimes you don't know, well, what is the right thing to do? What is the next right thing to do with where I'm at? We can get counsel. God wants His children to have peace. God wants His children to have right relationships. God wants His children to have this tranquil of mind. He gives it to us. The tranquil state of the soul, the assurance of our salvation through Christ, and fearing nothing. Content with our earthly lot, whatever that is. Jesus said this interesting thing. I wonder how many of you practice this. He said, and when you enter into someone's house, first say, peace be to this house, or peace be in this house. Right relationships be in this house. It's the same word, peace, as we have here in our text in Romans. The kingdom of heaven is peace, harmony. Those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything, is one of the plaques the ladies like to put in their living rooms or kitchens. And I want to say, it's good when you think about your plaques. Now, that one is a really good one. Those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually find God's, or see God's hand in everything. Some of these coffee sayings, coffee and God and coffee and whatever, I'm not too sure how to feel about some of those. But thankfully, you choose some good ones. Last, I'd like to end with a science lesson. I think it's always good when science proves what God already knew and God said for many, many years. Did you know that it is now proven people who live right, people who live in righteousness, act and feel and think rightly, people who have joy, and people who are at peace and have harmony, experience hormones that they now can trace. They can't test for them all very good. Some of them they can, but some of the others still can't really test them in the blood. But they experience these hormones. One of them is called serotonin. Serotonin. I think it's spelled like that. There's a nickname for that hormone, and by the way, this is a very, very good hormone. You want a lot of it. There's a nickname for that hormone. I thought I could remember that. It's called the feel-good hormone. All of us need serotonin. The other one is called dopamine. And this is called the happy hormone. Happy hormone. Another one that they say that you want a lot of is endorphins. And they call this the high runner. I have a story about this one that I think is high runner. I think it's kind of comic. Endorphins. This hormone gets triggered when you sing a lot. Endorphins. And it's a high runner, or the nickname is a high runner. I had a young girl tell one of my daughters that after she sang in a choir, it was a nice crowd there, and there was a choir, kind of a professional choir, and they conducted their thing, and it was all over. And she said this to my daughter. She said, "I feel like I could run 10 miles. And then lastly, this one here is very measurable. It's called oxytocin. And that one is called the bonding hormone. Oxytocin. I used to give my cows shots when I was a dairy farmer. I had a bottle of oxytocin in the barn. And any cow who was not relaxed, was not able to do what she was supposed to do, which was let her milk down so I can collect the milk, put it in the bulk tank, just like 1 cc of oxytocin. And immediately she relaxed, she gave her milk, she turned into a different animal almost, from a tense cow to a relaxed cow. Why am I saying this? This is what it is. And they will be finding out more, obviously, the longer the earth stands, whether what they know now is true or not. I'm not the judge. But, like I said, if modern science proves what God already knew is true, why not avail ourselves of it? The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. Let's all rise together, and I'd like to conclude by praying God's blessing on you in Romans chapter 15. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your kingdom, the kingdom that has no end. And it is what it is, Lord. We will never change your rules. We will never come to you in any other terms than what you have clearly manifested to us. Here we are, Father, just like this church that Clement of Rome shepherded long ago and received this letter. They should not be disputing over meat and drink, but rather they should not put an occasion to stumble in their brother's way. For the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We pray, O God, that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to have a right relationship with you so that we could have the peace, so that we could have enduring happiness, no matter what our lot is in life. We pray, O God, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and grace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.